Well, good morning. Happy Wednesday morning to you. It is so good to be with you today, as it is every day. I pray, as is our prayer when we gather together for these lives, is that you are having a good morning. And if you're not, well, that's what we're here for. We're here to help you turn that morning around, jump in the Word of God together. Hey, good morning, Tanisha. Jump in the Word of God together and open up His Word and see what He would have said to us. And any time spent in the Word of God always equates to a good, good morning. So thanks for being with me. A reminder as we hop on, and I'll probably remind you at the end, tonight we have prayer at 6:30 and then service at 7. Now, Wednesday nights, we do a one-hour service, so we promise to have you out by 8 o'clock. I know many people go back to work or school the next day, so we really hold true to that. Barb Fisher has been opening up the Word and sharing a powerful teaching with us. So she's doing a four-part series on that. So we got two more tonight and the next Wednesday that she'll be sharing the Word with us. That's powerful, so don't miss that. But I want to encourage you to lean in and being at prayer at 6:30 and then service at 7. You know, we came through revival weekend and God did something incredible, but Hope City Church is busy. We have so much going on. Now we have the egg hunt coming up that every day hundreds and hundreds of people are registering for this egg hunt. So we are expecting thousands to be there. And why do we do it? Because we want to have an impact on people. We want to share the gospel, share the good news with people. We want to encourage people in their faith and connect with them just as a part of our community. So we need to cover all of that in prayer. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we're going to celebrate our resurrected Savior and Lord. We know that that's always a huge time of visitors coming to church, and we want to make sure that we are prayed up and ready for that. So my point is, let's not draw back in prayer, right? Let's not say, all right, we came through revival weekend, you know, back to normal. We're not going back to normal. We're not going back to how it was. Good morning, Tracy. We are pressing in for more of God. Normal is a thought of yesterday. There will be no normal. We are pressing in and going after all that God has for us. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. So I was just encouraging everyone to be at service tonight at 7. Prayer at 6:30, because we're still so much happening here at Hope City. We need to make sure we are prayed up and ready to dive into that. Then while I'm on the topic of it, let's not forget that this Saturday morning, we're going to open up the church between 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. We're calling it a preparation party. I don't know. Every time I go to say that, I don't know. Maybe we need to find a different name. Anyway. But we're opening up to get ready for the egg hunt. So what we're going to do is between 8 and 12, we're going to have tables set up for people to close eggs, the little plastic eggs, to pinch them together. Good morning, Haley. And then, of course, to bag the 1,500 candy bags that we need put together. We're going to do all of that. And so we need your help. We can't do all of that alone, not one or even probably 10 people can do all of that alone. So we need you to stop out. So if you are available anytime between those hours of 8 and 12, come out, whether you can give a half hour or you can be here the whole time. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it because it helps us when we work together to get more done for the kingdom. Amen? All right. You ready to jump into the Word of God today? I know I am. I want to go to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. We are going to continue walking out and talking about the blessing and how it applies to our lives. Good morning, Sue. So good to see you this morning. And man, this thing has been getting deep. It's been getting good. I hope you have been blessed by it. So we talked yesterday a lot about covenant and how we are partakers of the blessing because of the covenant that Christ established on the cross. We looked at David and Mephibosheth and how David had made a covenant with Mephibosheth's father. So when David came into throne, he honored that covenant when he came into kingship. And he said, is there any left in the house of Jonathan that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? So we realize that we are showed kindness, are forgiven, have received the blessing, not for our own sake, but for Christ's sake. That was the title of when we put up the Good Morning Lies on Demand. We titled it, In Christ, For Christ's Sake. And somebody texted me in and said, did you mistitle that, For Christ's Sake? And I said, well, obviously you didn't watch it. If you're making a prejudgment about the title, because yes, it is for Christ's sake that I am saved and redeemed and forgiven and made righteous and receiver of the blessing, not for my sake, but because of what Christ did at the cross. And now God stands and says, I will bless you, not for your sake alone, but for Christ's sake. So it was for his sake that we have received the blessing. So I want to talk to you a little bit. I want to move on a little bit from covenant. And I want to talk to you today about how to walk in the blessing, how to receive the blessing, how to make sure that it's being applied to your life, that you're walking in the fullness of it. And when I begin to think about that, the first thing I came to and thought of was Abraham. And there's a verse of scripture, and it's found in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And here's what it says, verse 20 to 21. He did not waver at the promise of God, being fully convinced. You have your Bible out, you need to underline that, highlight it. Fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. He did not waver at the promises of God, but was fully convinced, right, that what God had promised him, God would be able to do. So when it comes to walking in the blessing, when it comes to experiencing the fullness of the blessing in our everyday, making sure that, you know, every day, you know, we're anticipating it, it really boils down to, are we fully convinced? Are we fully persuaded that what God said he would do, he will do? Or are, you know, have we taken a stance that, you know, says, well, if God wants to, he will. I'm not sure what my life is going to be. I'm not sure how this is going to all look, you know, or are we fully convinced? Are we fully convinced that God is able to do what he said he would do? You know, just even coming through this past weekend, revival weekend, you know, sometimes it's so good to just be, I don't know how to word it, but shocked, if you will, out of lethargy. Like, you know, like we, you know, as in church life, there's a rhythm, there's a routine, and you know, we get comfortable and it is what it is. You know, we come to expect the same things or certain things. And then you have a weekend like that where not only, you know, Bishop Dale and Bishop Amos bring in the word that was powerful. Can I tell you, I have been obsessed. Even I got in the car yesterday, had it on, and Sarah was like, are you for real again? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Again. I have been obsessed with listening to Valor Christian College from their worship set that they brought on Sunday morning. We did upload all of them to YouTube. Of course, you can watch the full service there, but we put each individual video clip up onto YouTube, and we'll be releasing it on Facebook over the next few days, but you can find it all on the church YouTube channel. But anyway, and it's like, I know the songs are ready, but it was just, they were anointed. Let's just call that what it is. But I guess, you know, what was so interesting for me, and I didn't plan on even talking about any of this or sharing this on the live, but it's just seeing that on our platform and our stage, these young people on fire for God, tearing it up, ripping open heaven, bringing down the glory. And it just sparked something in me, and especially seeing it in our house. Does that make sense to you? I've gone to, you know, Valor many times. I've been to World Harvest many times, and it's always impactful like that. But there's something that sparked on me when it comes into your house. And it was just like, you know what? We have gotten too comfortable and too just reliant on what is. There is more to God. And I don't know, it just sparked that in me. So I keep listening and I keep rewatching because I'm like, Lord, we need to press in for more of this. So I don't even know why I'm sharing all that, but I guess I'm tying it into with Abraham believed God. Oh, I remember. So Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do. And so sometimes what I was saying is, you know, you get through seasons of life where your prayer life, it's not that it's non-existent, it's just stagnant. It's just where it's always been. Church life, it's not that it's not happening and it's not there and the doors are open and worship is happening and preaching is happening and teaching is happening and community is happening, but they're just stagnant, if you will. It's there, right? Like we're existing. And then something comes in and shocks the water. And that calls us to again say, yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We've been missing out a little bit here on what God wants to do or what God wants to say. And it just causes us to be reignited and to lean in. And I love that Abraham, despite his age, despite what he was going through, he wavered not at the promises of God. He wavered not at the promises of God. Are you fully convinced? Are you fully sold on the truth that Christ died to give you and restore the blessing into your life? Are you fully convinced, like Abraham was, that as a result of the blessing being on you, things are supposed to work in your favor? Are you fully convinced that angels are right now on assignment to minister to you, to protect you, to guard over you? Are you fully convinced that as the word says, there's a fiery hedge of protection around about your life as a result of the blessing? Are you fully convinced that the Bible says that when your house is built on Christ, that it will rain on the just and the unjust, but your foundation will not shake and your house will not fall? Are you fully convinced today that if you look behind you, it's no longer Pharaoh or your past chasing you, but now it's goodness and mercy running up behind you, ready to overtake you? Are you fully convinced of that? Or do you still question in your heart and in your mind whether God is really for you? Do you still wonder sometimes, is God really working in your life? Is he doing anything, for you? Is he concerned about what concerns you? Are you fully sold on it? If not, I encourage you today, get fully, fully convinced. Fully convinced. Come on. Fully convinced. So I taught you, I don't even know how long we've been doing these lives, but a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, about the word sozo, which is where we get the English word for save. But in the Greek, the word sozo means saved. It's where we get the word saved or salvation from. And I taught you that in Greek, you know, or in English, we have past, present, and future, three, right? Past, present, and future. Where are you at? I'm in the present. And if I'm talking about anything that happened prior to the present moment, that's in the past. And anything that happened to prior to right now is in the future. We've got three. In the Greek, they actually have several more. But one of the things is called present progressive. We don't have that in English, but they do in the Greek. Present progressive. And I taught you that the word sozo, which means saved in the Bible, in the Greek is not just present, and it's not future, and it's not past. But the word sozo in the Bible actually means present progressive, which means now and continually being saved, which means I'm saved right now in this second, but 5 seconds from now, I'm going to need saved. And 20 seconds from now, I'm going to need saved. So when he said sozo, when he said you will be saved, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved, right? He was saying you will be presently, progressively saved, that in this moment, in every moment forward, salvation will be yours. And here's what I wanted to tie that in. Now, just to hang with me for a second, because it's going to seem like I thought we're talking about the blessing, and we are, but I want to parallel these two teachings, if you will, because I think it's going to help us understand the blessing even more. Because remember, I told you at the cross, we received salvation, we received forgiveness, we received justification, but he did not stop there. Remember, we were saved so that we might be redeemed from the curse and receive the blessing of Abraham. So we weren't just saved for salvation, grateful. That would have been more than enough, right? We weren't just saved for eternal life. God could have stopped there and we would be more than grateful, right? But he stepped it up and said, I didn't just save you for that. I've saved you from the curse so that you could receive the blessing. So there's a big parallel here in how we receive salvation and how we receive the blessing. Why? Because they were both purchased for us at Calvary, and they're both received the same way, by faith. So when we're talking about salvation and we're talking about it being in a present progressive, I want to teach a little bit on that, because I want to show you it's the same principle as receiving the blessing. So when we're saved, let me back this up a little bit. I'm not trying to open the door for political debate here or biblical debate, but I'm not a once saved, always saved guy, okay? Do I believe that a sin will cause you to instantly lose your salvation? Absolutely not. But do I believe that you can get saved and no matter what you do in life, that you are always going to be saved? I don't believe that either. So you may have a difference of opinion, that's all right. God will sort all that out when we get to heaven, right? Like he knows, you know. But what I do believe is that a sin committed today, you know, is not going to break you from, you know, your salvation. I believe you can get out of it the same way you got into it. So I believe that you get into it by confessing him as Lord, inviting him into your heart, surrendering to him. And I believe you can get out of it by making a conscious decision to reject Christ and say, I'm not a believer anymore. I don't follow God anymore. I reject salvation, right? That's me. That, again, if you got a difference of opinion that's all right. I believe that you can lose your salvation, but it's not an easy thing to do. It's not like, she said a cuss word right before she died. Now, you know, she's not going to heaven. I believe to lose your salvation, you have to reject it the same way that you received it. But that's another day, another teaching. But what I'm saying to you is according to the Bible, when you sin, sin always produces death in anyone's life. The end result of all sin is death. So when you sin, something in your life is supposed to die. That's what your Bible says, right? If we live according to the flesh, you know, death lurks in our beings, the Bible says. Why? Sin is limited death. Sin brought to fruition is death. And I think that's important to know, because when we talk about being saved, sozo, when we understand that it's present progressive, I think it helps us understand that salvation isn't an event that happened at an altar that now it's over and done with, and Yeah, I got saved at that moment and now it's done. Salvation is present progressive. So what does that mean? It's always working in our life. So I, you know, get off of this live and I go cuss somebody out in the parking lot and sin. What should happen to me legally, according to the Bible, is legally sin, because I sinned, death should come into my life. Because that's the law. Anytime we sin, death is introduced as a result of that sin. Now, it might come instantly, or it might take decades or years to fully work out and produce, but that is all sin leads to death, all right? So, but because I'm saved, and not just saved, you know, when I was 8 years old standing in a sanctuary at a Saturday kids event, but because I'm was saved then and I'm saved now, and because Sozo is present progressive, it's always working. So when I sinned and cussed somebody off in the parking lot, and as a result of the law, sin or death should enter into my body and destroy me, salvation, Sozo, didn't just cover me there, but it's that present progressive. So it continues to work and kill or put a hedge or a resistance over what should come into my life as a result of my sin and cover me from that. Are you with me today? So present progressive salvation works every time we fall short of the glory of God. The law is still the law. But because we accept salvation, Sozo, the present progressive salvation of God, rushes in and shields us and covers us, saves us in that moment. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you weren't just saved when you were saved. You're saved right now again. 10 minutes from now, you're going to be saved again. When you say what you ought not say and death and destruction should enter your life, you're going to be saved again. Why? Because salvation is present progressive. It's always working. It's always covering. It's always moving. It was an event. It is a supernatural power, a supernatural thing that when we receive salvation that comes on the inside of us and inside of our soul and covers us and shields us and stops destruction. So I want you to visualize salvation as not an event, but as an organism, if you will, that's working in our body and in our spirit, that every moment it's saving us. And I'm saved right now. And I just got saved again. And you just got saved again. And we just got saved again. Like, in every moment we're being saved. Why? Because that's present progressive, Sozo. That is salvation. Right? So I want you to keep that in your mind. And I want to move and look at Abraham. Who Abraham wavered not at the promises of God, fully convinced. Fully convinced. Now just looking for this scripture. So I don't know where it is, but if I quote it, and one of you can find it, then just chat in. But it says that Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him as righteousness. I'm going to say that again. Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. So if one of you can search that scripture and do a little work for me and post it, just so everybody knows I'm not lying, because I'm going a little bit deeper today. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to his account. Oh, it's right here. Sorry. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he wherefore unto glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For righteousness. For righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I want you to see that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. This simple act of Abraham, there in Genesis 15. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. An act of faith shifted Abraham in the eyes of God from being unrighteous to righteousness. Why did Abraham have to believe God for righteousness? Why did he have to believe God? Because there was no evidence of his righteousness. And can I tell you, there's no evidence of your righteousness. You know, the righteousness means to be in right standing with God. There's no evidence of our righteousness. I mean, a general scan of our life, we're going to find sin somewhere, right? And it's going to point that, you know what? Because of that sin, we are unrighteousness. But Abraham believed God, and God said, you know what? For the sake of your belief, I'm going to cancel your sin, and I'm going to call you righteous, even when there's no evidence of your righteousness. So Abraham had to have faith because there was no evidence of his righteousness. Faith was the tool that he used to reach into the spirit and manifest it into the natural where it could be seen. That same principle was in effect when we got saved. There was no evidence of salvation, but faith reaches into the supernatural, brings it into the natural, and that's how we know we are saved. So Abraham believed God, and it was charged to his account as righteousness. Again, righteousness means to be in right standing with God. So how do we walk in the blessing? The same way we receive salvation, the same way we receive the righteousness of God. We use our faith. We believe God, even when there's no evidence of it. We believe God, and God charges it to our account as righteousness just because our faith is reaching out and taking it. So I believe that the blessing works very much in our life like righteousness and like salvation. There may not be evidence in your life today that the blessing is at work. I'm just going to be realistic, right? You might be sitting in your living room today and you've got a pile of bills. Sickness is trying to attack your body. Your marriage is on the rocks. Your kids are you know, wigging out and doing whatever they're doing. And, you know, it just on the surface, it does seem like the blessing is working. And, you know, if you have an occasion of the flesh, you're probably going to walk around and say, come on, God. What is happening here? I thought I was supposed to be blessed. I thought you were supposed to be working in my life. I thought all things were supposed to be working together for my good, right? And it can seem like, where are you at? What are you doing? Right? But none of us, or hopefully not, would walk around and say, you know what? I don't feel saved today. I don't feel it. God, I thought you saved me. How dare you not save me? I thought you forgave my sin and you saved me. Like we wouldn't do that. Why? Because we know that whether or not I feel saved, I know that I'm saved. I believe that I'm saved. And just because I sin doesn't mean that I'm not saved. It means I've got some work to do. It means I've got to get some junk out of my life, but I'm still saved. Come on. So the same thing when it comes to our righteousness. Abraham believed God when he couldn't see his righteousness. And because he believed God, God looked at him and said, because you believe me for it, I'm going to put it to your account as righteousness. His belief leaned in And God said, because of your belief, I'll call you righteous, even when you're not righteous. So the same thing works. The same thing works when we are believing God for the manifestation of the blessing in our life. We can look around and say, well, where's the blessing? Why isn't it working? I believe blessing operates the same way as sozo. Remember, we live on a cursed earth, but we are redeemed from that curse. So as a part of a cursed earth, economies are going to rise and fall. Storms are going to come, literal storms and spiritual storms and whatever else, right? All kind of hell's going to, you know, rule and reign on this cursed earth. But as a redeemed child of God, redeemed from the curse, we are exempt from that. However, when the curse comes knocking at your door, when you're looking around and you're saying, but I don't see the blessing in my life. Where is it at? What's happening? Why isn't God working? What do? The same thing you do for salvation and the same thing you do concerning your righteousness. You believe God that I'm not just saved 8 years, you know, when I was 8 years old. I am saved in this moment. And wait, I just got born again. I just got saved again. Because it's present progressive. And I believe that's exactly how, because with salvation comes the blessing. So if salvation is present progressive, I would dare to say the blessing is present progressive, which means it's not just working now, you just got blessed again. In this moment, I just got blessed again. God, come on, every moment I'm alive, every moment I'm awake, he just, the blessing, it's present progressive, it's working. Right now, it's working. Right now, it's working, it's active. It's a living thing. It's in our DNA. It's just like this being, this thing, like salvation is. And it's working to bless you. It's working to turn things around. All you have to do is do what Abraham did. He was fully convinced in the promises of God, fully persuaded that right now in this moment, in my being and in my life, salvation is working. Salvation is at work. Salvation is pushing death away. Salvation is pushing hell away. Salvation is saving my soul every moment of every day. And in this moment, righteousness is yours. In this moment, God's considering you righteous. And in this moment, the blessing of God is coming on you. And in this moment, the blessing of God is being poured back on you again and again and again. And every second and every millisecond, the blessing of God is working in your life. But the same way we receive salvation, the same way we receive the righteousness of God is the same way we receive the blessing of God. We, despite what we see, despite what's going on around us, we reach out like Abraham did with our faith, and we believe God, and we walk around and we say, I don't care what it looks like with my eyes, I'm saved. I don't care what they tell me, I know my God is real, and I know I'm spending eternity in heaven. I don't care what failure, what sin I've had in my life, I know I am the righteousness of God. Why? Because it wasn't by my own works that I received it, and it's not by my own works that I can reject it, right? So I am righteous in the eyes of God. Why? Because of what Jesus did at the cross. I am forgiven, not because I deserve forgiveness, but because of what Jesus did at the cross. And I am blessed today, not because I deserve the blessing. I receive the blessing today because of what Jesus did at the cross. So I want you to get up and start walking around your home today and start thanking God that in this moment, I mean, in the worst storm of your life, in the worst chaos of your life, you walk the hallways and you say, I'm blessed. And you might be like, yeah, but they're coming to turn, you know, the power off. They're coming to foreclose. I have a meeting with the boss this week. I think they're going to fire you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am the blessed of God. Blessing. Remember, he said blessing almost as if your name. Hey, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I am going to multiply you and your descendants. Well, you don't know about my kids. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're doing. Your descendants will possess the gates of their adversary. And that's where you rise up. Don't be a weak-kneed, baby-crying little Christian who, you know, a little something happens in your life and you're ready to throw your hands up and walk away. Come on. Faith needs us to rise up in strength, This isn't for the weak need. Faith needs us to rise up in strength, claim what is ours, put our back into it, put our effort into it, push our emotions aside. If you got to walk the hallways of your house with tears running down your face because of fear of what's coming, and you just got to start saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. And you got to say that 20,000 times until it finally moves from up here. And suddenly you start to see yourself as blessing, a blessing, a blessed one. I don't say it because I'm a religious person. I say it because Christ died to give it to me. That's right, Haley. I love that. Chin all the way up. That's right. I am blessed. Pastor Parse used to say, you know, you push your plate back, square your shoulders, and spit into the wind. There has to be, if you are going to excel as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to get some spine to you. I don't know how else to say it. But if every storm, if every opposition that comes your way, you know, we just fully fall under the weight of it, well, the enemy is going to have a field day. But when we are able, that's why the apostle said, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. It's a fight because I'm seeing something with my eyes, but his word is saying something else into my soul. I'm not seeing the manifestation of blessing sometimes, but I know his word says, blessing, I will bless you. I died to give you the blessing of Abraham. So even when I don't see it, I have to fight. I have to fight to keep myself from lowering my expectation from what God said to what I see. I got to fight against that. It's easy to say, well, then it just is what it is. I guess this is how it's going to be. And all right, I'll accept it. It's a fight. That's easy. Anybody, any old fool can do that. But it's a fight to say, no, but that's not what he said. We don't have the best marriage. We kind of just coexist in our home. But it is what it is. But that's not what he said. That's not his will. Well, you know, my kids, they're not serving the Lord, but they're not, they're alive. You know, well, that's not what he said. He said, your descendants will possess the gates of their adversary. So we the fight is to not lower our expectation to what we see, but to elevate our expectation to what he said. So I believe that today, for you, you are going to see the blessing of God working in your life. Just as salvation is right now in this second working in you. Just as right now, justification is working in you, righteousness is working in you. I believe the blessing is working in you right now, and it's working for you right now. Don't you dare lower your expectation. Don't you dare back up from what God said. Don't you dare just settle for let you contend. And until you leave this planet, you contend and you stand and you believe. You do not lower your expectation. But come on today, we lift our eyes up. We lift our voice up. We lift our cry up to God. We elevate our expectation, not off of what we see, but what he said. So I believe that in this moment, you're not only being saved, you are being blessed again and again. Oh, there it is again. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person who's listening and watching right now. Lord, I pray that they would understand the sozo of salvation, that present progressive, that you are every second, every millisecond, every minute second, salvation is working in our spirit, in our soul, in our body. Just as salvation is at work, so is the blessing of God. All we have to do is elevate our expectation, reach out in faith, just as Abraham believed you and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So when we believe you, we reach in and we pull blessing. We pull it into manifestation through an activation of our faith. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. So I just ask you to do that today, regardless of, I told this story before, but I remember I moved out when I was 17 and got my own house. I probably couldn't I couldn't afford it, but I don't know why I did it. But working at Dairy Queen and McDonald's, you know, making minimum wage and trying to pay a rent for a house on my own. And I was in all kinds of financial problems. And I remember one time listening to Clint Brown's song, I Win, and had just come out. And I, the Lord told me to put my checkbook in the middle of my floor. And I listened to that song and I danced around that checkbook declaring, I win, I win, I win, I win. It wasn't a week later that a boss from a job that I used to be at in retail called me and said, hey, I'd only been a little stock boy and I hadn't worked there in like 2 years. So, but he called me out of nowhere and said, hey, do you want to become a store manager in one day? And the salary for that 1 week's pay would more than cover my rent. And I said, yes, sir. I didn't even have to pray about it. Because I remembered back a week before dancing around that checkbook saying, I win, I win. I don't know how, but God's going to make a way. And so when it started manifesting in my life, it was like, yeah, no, I expected this. I expected to go from a stock boy who quit 2 years ago to, hey, do you want to be a store manager? You can start on Monday. And I'll tell you, that job not only provided my income, but it covered our church expenses when I started pastoring when I was 19 years old for a few years. So God really used that job to not only further my life, but further the kingdom in many ways. But it was like, I didn't even have to pray about it because I expected. I was fully convinced that God was going to do something. So I just ask you today, spend some time and just walk around and say, I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am highly favored. Blessing you will bless me. Multiplying you will multiply. I receive the blessing. It's mine. I'm looking out the window with anticipation. Is it a check in the mail? Is it a call from somebody? Is it the wayward child gonna come home? Well, remember the prodigal son? And we talked about that at Hope City not long ago, how the father saw him from afar off, which meant the father was looking, that there was this expectation in the heart of the father for that wayward son. He was always looking down the road, trying to, where do I see anything? Is he coming yet? And that's what faith does. It says, I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm looking for the healing. Is it over here? Is it going to come through a doctor? Is it going to come through medication? Is it going to come through divine interception? I'll be honest, I don't care how it comes as long as it's getting here. And I'm looking for it. I'm looking to be healed. I'm looking to be whole. Why? Because it's a part of the blessing and we receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Don't forget tonight, 6:30, be at Hope City Church. Our service prayer starts at 6:30 and then we're going to go off into our worship service at 7 p.m. And then don't forget this Saturday between 8 and 12, we are going to be getting ready for our egg hunt that is coming up next Saturday. My gosh. But we got to pack thousands of bags of candy and close thousands and thousands of Easter eggs. So we're opening up from 8 to 12. We're going to have music pumping and some desserts and treats and all of that stuff. Here for you to enjoy. And if you can come for 20 minutes, 5 minutes, or for 4 hours, we could use your help. So if you can be here on Saturday, please do that. But I look forward to seeing you tonight right here at Hope City Church. Amen. Be blessed. You are blessed. So receive that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.